They step into the biggest shows with the biggest names. And sometimes they get written on or off in a moment's notice. It's time to find out all the dramatic details of what it's like to be a guest star. With your host, Pete Ferrero.
Let's go.
Yeah. All right. Hey, so this is exciting. I've got Monica Lacey here, and we're talking about guest star stuff. We're talking about all the things that you did in your career. I mean, so it's, you know, obviously anybody who's watching this knows a lot of the stuff you did when you were younger. You're triplets, and I've interviewed you and your sister on 902 about 90210 a while ago, and we can talk a little bit about 90210. But what was the reason, or how did you know you wanted to be an actor? I want to go back, like start
back
there.
To the beginning, very first job, which was at Guest Star. It basically, I didn't set out to be an actor. I thought I was going to be like teaching English somewhere, you know, or writing. I thought I'd be a writer. And then we had a friend that did commercials. We lived in Orange County. So used to be they were far apart from LA, you know, it felt very different. And we begged this friend to tell his agent about us, and we met the agent, and then we started, and then we booked our first audition, which was a commercial. And almost right after that, we booked we met Disney almost immediately. And then we did like one student film, but I started liking it. I just instantly was like, I love this. I liked improvising. I liked how, I just had never seen anything like it. I didn't grow up in a theater home. I didn't see a lot of theater. I remember loving Annie. That was my first theater that I ever saw.
Yeah, I love that too. Yeah, yeah.
And I would sing it from the top. And I love the move. I love the drama of it. I like the look inside the person, like in the character, a person character, like why they do the things they do. I find that fascinating. And so I think that's what got me interested. And then I just started doing it and liking it. I think the comedy parts of it, I think, appealed to me. I love doing comedy, probably the most.
Yeah.
And I just love to tell, like, I love learning about humans. I guess it's just a curiosity about human beings.
And so you guys are, you know, you're all young, but you have your sisters to sort of like, you know, lean on in this process because they're doing the same thing as you. Was that helpful to you when you...
Yes. Oh, well, first of all, how lucky was I that like pretty much I wasn't ever alone on the first, like all this, it was like I had a sibling or two, you know, with me. And it was, so it was, makes it more fun. It's like being on vacation alone versus with a friend. Sometimes it's better to experience it. And it definitely helped because I could see things like in acting class or even on camera, I'm watching them. And I think we were learning from watching each other, like what works, what doesn't work. And made it way more fun. And also they were interested in the same things. So we found the same comedy funny. I remember when I was at UCLA with Leanna, kind of around those 90210 days, we would just get a group together and improv, like in somebody's living room. I remember like people like Chris Hardwick, who's now the Nerdist.
Yeah.
He lived down the hall. He would come hang with us. I think he wanted to be an actor then. And like, just different random people that are all making it today. You know what I mean? Like this little crowd we've all, you know.
Well, there was a group of you, right, that were all sort of acting around the same time and like going to different shows. Who were some of the people that you guys kind of, the three of you, you know, were friends with at that time? Were there other actors that, you know, I mean, from Growing, I know you did a Growing Pains, we'll talk about that, but like, were there other
like a little kid crowd.
Right,
like,
yeah.
It was the two Coreys, Corey Feldman and Corey, what am I blanking on?
Haim.
Thank you. Corey, oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Corky Nemec. We thought Corky Nemec was the coolest. We had done the show, his TV show. And Tracy Gold, I think, was part of that crowd. I remember meeting people at parties. Like there was somebody that did these seltzer parties, something that was, there was a restaurant on La Cienega where people sang and they would have parties there all the time. Was it?
Oh, I feel like Brian Austin Green told me about this, where they were like
part of it.
Like some soda party or something like this.
Yes, yeah, exactly. That's funny. And he was part of it too. And then other, like, and you saw people, like I remember seeing, what's her name? And she plays Felicity. She would be there, or Hilary Swank was kind of in the crowd a little tiny bit around. Maybe we were in acting class together. Everybody just is, you kind of see the same people at the auditions, the classes, and at these little parties. And my parents would drive us. I mean, we were totally dorky. I don't think we had our driver's license. We started with that little crowd, but it was great. I'm super grateful. I remember meeting Heather Graham was the first actress I ever met.
And really? Yeah. And she's so fantastic. Yeah.
So. She's so fantastic. And I was like, wow, that's, she's a real living, breathing actress. I go, I guess I am too.
Right.
You know,
is it weird because like you're all kids, right? But, and you're all on these massive shows, sort of, it's developing, it's happening for all of you. Do you see them as like, I don't know, at that age, like kids that you're friends with, or do you see them as like, I don't know, David Silver or the kid that's on Growing Pains or whatever? Like, is it hard for you at that age to like, because they're all super famous at that time, you know, or they're becoming
it. I was just like, I think my head was spinning. I think I was excited and it was weird. Like one day they were at the party, the next day they were on TV, the next day they're at the party, or there might be, like everybody was kind of interchangeable. There was also, what was I going to say? There was somebody I just remembered that we hung out with.
Well, like, Lindsay Price had told me that she was at all of these parties as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
And all I know, I was going to say Elizabeth Berkley. And so Elizabeth Berkley the other day, and I'm like, how funny. We're now moms, but we're acting again, but we acted when we were little kids. And so we just, there's nothing like that. Like there's an experience when you're a kid on set, you are still a kid. You're still, even if, and I mean, under 21, you're still, you're not as in charge of yourself. I don't know how to explain it. You still get like kid breaks. They come around. Do you want water? They need to sit down, you know, and they're still taking care of you. And it's just an experience. You're more like an observer too.
Sure. You know?
And then you grow up and realize, oh gosh, I'm in charge of this and I can, you know, but so there's a shared experience, like a shared, like how, you know, you're kind of dazzled. There's no way you're not, it's nothing's old hat. Mm-hmm. Everything is exciting and fun. And it was weird. I just thought it seemed like everybody was just getting on TV shows left and right. Everybody that I knew was on in TV and movies or making it in some way at that time.
And you know, I don't know if you saw Kid 90, that film by Soleil, but did you enjoy that?
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see it. I need to see it.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet. But it's interesting because it's like really about that time and about, you know, that the kids that were doing that. They didn't get into the soda party stuff though.
That's funny that other people remember that. And then there was only like one or two, everybody did Teen Beat or Tiger Beat. Those were like the, now I feel like there's tons of, you didn't have a, there weren't like publicists everywhere. There wasn't a way to publicize yourself. So your kind of publicity came from your show, or you're like, we had Disney kind of helping us or whatever. It was just, you kind of, and so there was less venues to do in the PR, and they would just show up and you would do a day of shooting at Disney and then they would use those photos and those would be the ones they used in all the Tiger Beat and all that. Now I think there's more autonomy, like you as an actor, you have more, you can hire your very own team. I'm sure we could back then, but it just wasn't as diverse and it wasn't such a machine as it is now.
In the early 80s, there were shows like Different Strokes and there were really tragic stories that came out of being a kid actor. But this is the 90s we're probably talking about, when the parties were the soda parties and everybody, would you say there was a different environment, or were people thinking about, we don't want them to turn out like that? Or was
yes, there was a fear, like people would go, oh, because everybody had this, the negative aspects of it. And they were like, oh, are you going to, you know, so I think everybody was wanting to be careful and be, you know, I didn't feel that there was, I thought that it felt very clean cut and it was okay. And everybody, it felt like everybody had my best intentions and, you know, on down. And I thought that was a good, I think that everybody, I mean, sure. I'm sure obviously we now know stuff was going on.
Sure.
Before he came. And, but I think if your parents were at all on the scene in some way, shape or form, it was easy to follow the rules and stay safe and be okay. You know,
when you heard about the Coreys and what was going on with them recently, you know, again, you know, what's great about the Punky Brewster movie is that she's looking back at life and what were the memories as good as we kind of remember them, right? That's looking back at them. When you heard about this, what were your thoughts on it? About, and obviously you lost them too, you know, you lost in a different, Corey Haim in a different way, but yeah.
It was not surprising to me because there weren't enough people watching. There weren't enough. And as a mother now, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, it's, you know, I think they just, it was so, it wasn't surprising. It would be very easy to, but because your manager would pick you up and take you somewhere, or you would go meet in Hollywood. I mean, how many times have I done auditions at a hotel, you know, you're going to meet in the hotel room. Like that's now I think there's a lot more awareness of it, but it didn't surprise me. It didn't surprise me at all. It made me sad. And because for every one that we know about, there's a lot we don't know.
Yeah. And there's probably some that are living with what had happened to them in that time period. So it is sad, but I want to talk about
it. Yeah. And people don't talk, you would never have, I don't even think they had a gay character on TV yet. Like that was before Ellen. Life was so different before nobody talked about, you know, even sexual assault wasn't didn't even have a name until Anita Hill, which was what, in the 80s?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It was not even a word for that.
Right. So, and you didn't want to say it on TV, you know,
let alone talk about it or, you know.
Yeah. But it's interesting. So you come in, I think, is it growing pains where it all sort of is your...
That's my first job. It was with Leanna, and it was the first time I met actors that were kids like that. Except for the one kid, Chris Petit, who we knew from growing up, who introduced us. And we were just enamored. We loved Kirk's family. We kind of got just involved. We loved the friends. We met all of his friends. We just kind of got involved. Like, I don't know. I just think that's kind of our family, maybe because we felt safer, because it was my parents knew Kirk's parents. And so we kind of just kind of blended and hung out and I didn't ever feel like it wasn't like it was organic. You know what I mean? We liked the sisters, you know,
Candace.
Candace. And then Bridget was the other sister. And we loved the mom, and and I liked meeting friends. I just was really interested. And luckily it was easy to become friends with a lot of these actors. I remember there was a very special like drug episode about a friend, and I knew that friend, and just, I felt very like we're doing good work here. You know, we're helping. Yeah. And it was just, everything was a thrill. I don't know. I that was when I went, oh, you could be an actor for real and live and maybe make a living at it. This is great, you know?
And Growing Pains is a huge show. It's, you know, it's one of the big ones that I grew up watching. I know a lot of kids did because it was, you know, it was a big ABC show. And you guys you did some commercial stuff and you're just kind of getting into acting. And then you walk on the set of Growing Pains, you know what I mean? Which is like,
oh my
God, huge show. What is that experience? I mean, at least you got to do it with your sister, you know, as we were talking about.
Yeah. So I always had a friend, and then there was always other kids in the show. And so it was fun to hang out with other kids. I think it'd be much different if I had to work with all adults, but it was fun because I had my sister, and then we didn't have a clue what we were doing. And it was so thrilling. We're like, you're doing our hair and you're giving us these fun outfits and what? And then the kids were having a great time. And I think I met Evan Arnold. He's like a character actor that's worked forever. And I think I feel like he was on that show too. So people were and Jordan Brady, a director, I think he came on one of these kid sets, and you know, and these people are all still working. But at the time, I remember I'd never had a bagel. That's a perfect example.
Okay.
Never had a bagel. And somebody it was on the craft service table there. And I'm like, oh, we can eat all this food. It's for us. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, what's that? And they're like, honey, you've never had a bagel? I'm like, nope.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Never had a bagel. And I was like, wow. Okay. So like, I remember like things like they were air kissing. I'd never seen that before. I'm like, is this Hollywood thing? And everybody, the way they talked to the kids were so different. These kids were like adults, you know, they were commanding attention. Everybody was asking what they thought. They were sitting at the table, literally, figuratively reading out of the script. And I was like, wow, they get so much. And just watching how they collaborated to come up with physical comedy. There was a lot of physical comedy. And I think I learned a lot just from watching Kirk specifically. And then when they bring in the whole, you know, the day before shooter, it's like 40 people, they're execs. And they come in and you kind of do like a dry run, like where it's up on its feet. And then you get notes and everybody stands around. I was so shocked. I'm like, who are these people? I'm not, you know, it's different than a movie where it's just, you know, the camera person and your makeup artist, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This was like 40 people all watching, and then they would laugh really hard. I'm like, is that a real laugh? But like, they do that. That's part of the, you know, to show where the to show where the comedy is. And just, I learned so much about that. Like, it was like a live show. It's the best of a live show. because it's live, you know?
Yeah. Obviously the, you know, the Camerons have shifted a bit, you know, on that show. I mean, do you still stay in touch with them from that? Or
is I wish I could say yes. I think it was a couple of years and then it kind of faded, but I think it's a very warm, friendly relationship. Like I think I even knew Kirk's wife, the woman he married, was an actress too. Like
that's right.
I think we might've even had the same agents. Like that's how intertwined everybody was. And I think, you know, it's interesting. I think I've chatted a little. I think my sisters may have chatted with Candace a little bit. It's surprisingly, I guess our paths never really crossed after that.
Yeah. That's okay. I mean, but so you do the Growing Pains. Do you guys watch it together when it comes out, you and your sisters, or what? And how do you handle watching yourself back?
It was so trippy back then. I also thought it was a one-off. Like to me, I was like, I didn't think I would be an actress today. I thought it was like, how funny we did this one episode of
Growing Pains, right?
Growing Pains. And I remember I had a couple friends come to watch the taping and from high school. And it was like, I mean, it was like the biggest thing in our life. I didn't know anybody on TV. I didn't know anybody in the movie business. So this was like crazy. So my friend Laura Shea, and I can't remember who else came to the taping. And then I think that night I had to like race home and cheer at a football game because I was a varsity cheerleader. So I was like this double life. But
you were like a real kid, but then you're also like the TV kid. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And I felt like, yeah, it was like this. I was like this real kid, I felt like. And then I'm like, oh, I do this really fun, interesting thing. Look who I got to meet. Isn't this fun? And it's like the number one TV show. It was the only show that we watched. I mean, it was so huge to be on it, to step from the fantasy of watching it every week to be on the set and to see the scripts and go, oh my gosh. And this, I'll never forget the feeling of stepping on that set and seeing the familiar family room, the familiar kitchen.
Right.
It's something. And so I'm sure we had our friends over and watched it like on TV and everybody probably screamed. I remember every time we also had done, I think we'd just only done a commercial before that for Nissan Stanza GXE. And every time it came on, we all screamed and it was just so weird. I'm like, it was just, cause I didn't even have an awareness that it's just so outside of my idea of what I would ever do with my life, you know?
Yeah. So you were a regular kid. You went to
public high school.
Public high school.
Sunny Hills High School.
Was it weird, or I don't know, weird is the right word, but were the kids come up to you and say, oh my God, I saw you on Growing Pains, or what was that kind of?
I remember at the time, since it was football season, and I remember my sister Leanna started dating Kirk. And so then there was a rumor that she was going to take him to homecoming dance. And so of course everybody was like, you know, so our whole entire school, we were identical triplets. So people already knew who we were. Like we were kind of a novelty and, you know, we were kind of involved in everything, you know? And so, we were just, you know, so I think people knew us. And then it was kind of like this rumor mill about like Growing Pains and Kirk Cameron. I mean, it'd be like the biggest, like, you know, how there was fewer stars back then.
Yeah.
Like back then there was like three networks and out of, you know, maybe just a couple TV stars. It'd be like Justin Bieber. That's how much
totally.
Love with Kirk Cameron. That's how big his influence was. It'd be like if Justin Bieber was maybe going to come to your homecoming dance. So we were just as wowed as that. I do think, I remember he did take Leanna and he borrowed Alan Thicke's Porsche to take her.
Oh my God. Yeah. He did come to the homecoming.
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
He did. I know.
It becomes almost like an episode of Growing Pains in a way.
Very meta, right?
Yeah.
And it was so weird because he's playing a real kid on TV, but he's not really one, you know, because he's on TV. And we're like just kind of interlopers going from the pretend set of the TV with the pretend teacher.
Right, because he's also Mike Siever. He's not on the show. He's not, you know, Kirk Cameron and Mike Siever are probably two different people, I would imagine. Yeah. Maybe similar in some ways, why it works, but he's not, you know, you're not bringing Mike Siever to homecoming, you're bringing the actor that plays him, and yes. It just happens to be huge.
And that's key. That was when I was learning that Mike Siever was like this more boisterous, silly, fun-loving, you could play pranks. And I think Kirk was like, had to be far more mature and more serious and much more intellectual and much.
Sure.
And I remember that was surprising to me. I'm like, oh, and just watching, you know, how you step into character. And I think that's what everybody thinks. They think you are your character, you know? And right. if you do a great job, that's the best, you know.
Oh, of course. I mean, I always assumed Mike or Kirk Cameron was that goofy kid because he did such a great, all of you all did such a great job. And that's what made some of that work so great. Because listen, there's shows from that era that did not have the mass success as mm-hmm. a Growing Pains, right? And I think it all kind of plays out the way it's supposed to. You know, there are just some people that are so talented that they command a room or a space and they can deliver exactly what's needed of.
And their parent, the mom and the dad were like, I was like, gosh, they were kind of, you know, everybody wanted their dad to be like a therapist who knew the right thing to say. Like he was kind of an idealist. And the mom was, Joanna was just so like warm and sweet. You know, it was like the ideal. We wanted that family. You know, we wanted to be, have that perfect family.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of my career was based on like idealism, like the idealism of having a twin or a triplet.
Sure.
What if, there's a lot of that, you know, and now it seems like the trend in TV is let's, you know, show a more variety. I think there's still an aspirational, but now it's not so much like doing it all, you know, perfect, like one way perfect. Now it's a lot of different.
Yeah, so. I agree. So then after that, like I say that you did My Two Dads, but Parent Trap, is that what becomes the big, like a big?
That was like our big.
The yeah. ship, you know, like that takes it to yes. the Growing Pains. And then that takes it to a whole other exactly. level where you are the Kirk Cameron now. Do you know what I mean? Like you are this.
Yep. Star. And thankfully I had a couple guest stars under my belt of like what to do on a set. Because mm-hmm. there's so many, it's like a different language. And, you know, and you're a kid and you don't really know, like. And then it's funny, then I got to then be the kid and learning like, what does this mean? And, oh, I'm supposed to, what, why are they, you know, just there's, it's like a different country that you're visiting. Like there's different rules there. There's different breaks and there's different, you know, as the actor, you don't go and change your hair or makeup. There's somebody that does that for you. There's somebody that does your clothes. You learn where everybody's job is. It's somebody's job to do the lighting. So it's your job. You have to stay there and stand on your mark. While they're, you know what I mean? And for everybody, you learn where everybody's doing their job and how to allow everybody to do their job. And it's funny that I got to then experience it when I did the Kicks 4 years ago and having all the kids were new to TV and new on shows. And I was then helping them, like helping Six. I go, it was just like reminding me so much of when I was a kid. Like, you know.
But now you're on the other end of the story. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And it was a thrill. And I was like, I'm so happy for it. It's such a soft landing into the business. Like, who gets that? Who gets given a TV show and gets to, and the people, Six Orange, who played my daughter in the Kicks, and the triplets. Like we were so fortunate. Because learning on the job is the best way. And then before you have any preconceived notions of anything. And it was just.
Yeah. So you're coming into these roles as a guest star and mm-hmm. you have to learn the different, I don't want to say politics, but you have to learn the family or the setting of the different groups, right? Because Growing Pains is one thing, but then going into a Baywatch or a 90210 must be some, and I know there's a lot of years that pass, but I know that there's got to be some sort of difference. You're older and there's a lot more, I mean, it's particularly on 90210, I know there's a lot more drama happening behind the scenes and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And is that some, how do you adapt, I guess, is where I'm going with this too.
Well, you learn basically, like when it's your own show, and I've been on my own show, I've guest starred, and then I've been on my own show, and then I've guest starred. So it's peaks and valleys. So sometimes I got my own parking spot right next to my trailer, and other times nobody knows who I am, and they think I'm background. You know what I mean? So that's just kind of par for the course, and that is a career, and that's how it goes. But I think one of the first things they have a new director, mostly shows, they might have a handful, like six directors, but they each come on just for 1 week and then they go off and edit it and the new person comes. So on really successful shows, the power dynamic is really in with the stars, the leads of the show. But as the guest, you have to kind of come in and realize who's telling you what, you know, and like I did, what's that one? The one about Hawaii 5-0. Mm-hmm. That one, I noticed that the leads, the male leads had a lot of power. They basically almost like a director telling me things that I've never been, usually only a director tells me. And so you kind of have to walk that line of like, do I listen to him? He's telling me to literally a line change or a, you know, a character, like a physical change. I'm like, oh, do I, you know, and you kind of learn that. And then there's dynamics going on with the other actors. And so, you know, you, it's hard. You have to hold on to yourself. You step on there, you have to go, you know, I got hired for my thing. I'm not the star, but I'm a critical part of my role, and I'm going to come on and do it, hold my head high. It might be a week and then I'm bounced out, you know? So it's, but even spending one day on a set, you feel, you get close. So there's a closeness that after like 5 years on a show, these people are so tight, and, you know, it's, you kind of come in, you just have to kind of know where you're, you can't, you just kind of find where it is. And usually they're very nice, like Seinfeld, you know, they were used to a new girl of the week kind of situation. That was also at the peak, pinnacle of the show.
Totally.
Kristen and I booked it. I had never seen an episode of it.
Oh, no.
We watched it. And then, it, you know, it was that, now I've seen all of them. Yeah, but like that show, they were used to it. And they have a special routine, and they were extremely gracious. Like I would say Seinfeld is like the top, like where they were extremely nice, extremely, the actors, they even the ones I'm not in a scene with would come around and say, hey, welcome to the show. Especially Jason Alexander. I don't think
I don't think you had scenes with Jason. You had,
no, I didn't.
And you had scenes with Mickey and Kramer, Michael Richards. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And they, of course, I hung out with them. And then in the church at the end, we did a pre-tape.
Yeah.
Like at the wedding, and I go running out of the church crying. That was, but I really, so it was nice that they, those other actors kind of came around, like Jason Alexander specifically, he came to the green room before the taping and said, welcome, good luck, you know, good to have you, I'm Jason. Like, that means so much. It means so much. It's the, you know, so.
I'm curious about that show because it's interesting because it's later on, I mean, it's after some of the, you know, the high school's kind of stuff, right? And it is such a huge show. I don't know if Larry David is he still there? Mm-hmm. So Larry David's there. I mean, and that set is obviously probably the most of the iconic ones that you worked on with Jerry's Apartment and all that stuff. So what is, I mean, is it still, do you like going into the growing pains, what we were talking about and being like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm on this set. Do you still get that? I know you haven't seen a Seinfeld, but you're aware of how huge the show is.
I was aware as soon as I booked it, people were saying it. I'm like, oh, and you walk on and you realize, oh my gosh, of course I know who Jerry Seinfeld is. Of course I know who he is. And there's something about going on a set. It's just physical. It's bright and sunny outside. You open a giant door that's this thick and you shut it behind you and it's dark and lights are over the, it's just it's like a different world when you step in there. It's just different. It's rarefied. And then the lights, it's like you're in a cave, you know? It was the best part of that show. My favorite day was the pre-tape of the church because I got to see all the main cast members, all just hanging out and they almost stayed in character and were riffing. And I loved it. It made me realize you have to stay playful. And they were on their feet mentally, you know what I mean? Like, so that when they step back into their character, and they were doing it because it was fun, but also when they were staying loose. And I just thought it was genius how they were just had this witty repartee. They didn't like stop and eat, you know, Slurpees and just take a load. They, you know what I mean? They stayed sharp and ready.
Stayed in it. Yeah.
Stayed in it. And it was really, it was amazing to see them all joking and laughing and how fast. It's almost like a family, almost the way my sisters and I are. When we talk, we kind of almost skip a beat, skip sentences because we know what each other's talking about. That's how that main Seinfeld cast was. And they were just laughing and all the inside jokes and all it was just kind of funny to watch on the outside.
What about doing the scenes with Michael Richards and the actor that played Mickey? That must have been some really great stuff because there's so much hilariousness between all of you there. What was it like to work with Michael? I mean, he's I think he's a comedic genius. You know what I mean?
He is, and he, you know, it's funny. They almost immediately, I think he said, oh, this is going to be an iconic episode. And I'm like, how do you know? We haven't even shot it yet. How do you know? He goes, it's Jerry's favorite. And somehow they were right. They knew. And that's why so during that week when I got cast and you're there a week, they added stunt casting, which so after, you know, we were on, that was when they added in Mickey's parents, which is.
Right. Yeah.
He's a famous actor. I'm blanking on his name. They added those famous people and they just added all these people. They knew they, and so they know it's going to be iconic. The good and the bad. I knew I had my original audition was really big. So I was like, I had tons and tons of lines. I was like, yes, you know, this is going to be huge.
Amazing.
And then I get there, and after we do the run through, and Michael goes, don't get too attached to those lines, because when we come back, it's going to be totally different. I'm like, how do you know? Well, he knew.
Yeah.
He knew. Because I was, you know, they deserve to get the punchlines. It's hard to give the punchlines away. So I would
guest star.
Yeah, the original script, and that one, it'd be fun to see how they changed it. But it was amazing. It was great the way it just kind of came out. And it's a very Michael tries things out and laughs along with it. And so everybody's having a good time. That's what I've learned, is you can't just stop and just perform. You have to be enjoying it, engaged and laughing. And I remember one of the first days I was on the set, and it was before I knew who, oh my God, what's his name? He writes all the Seinfelds that you asked me.
Larry David.
Larry David.
Yeah.
I didn't know who Larry David was. Sorry, Larry David.
I don't think a lot of us did until he did Curb Your Enthusiasm. And then we really got an understanding of who this guy is. Yeah. Right.
I had no idea who he was, but he came up when I was getting a snack at craft service, and he's like, you're really good. You're really funny. We loved your audition. And I was like, oh, thank you. And now I realize, of course, that's Larry David. I remember his hair very specifically and his voice. And now I realize his voice was coming through that Seinfeld so much. I mean, you realize that's Larry David, you know, like just as his, it was almost like pre-Larry, but it was like so much of that. You know, I had no idea, like that's part of being green and not having a clue. You don't understand, like they've been laughing at these lines for weeks. You know, they had the storyline they thought was fine. They've been, you know, you come in at the last hour and just to say the last little bit, but it's really been set in motion a long time. So it's their baby, you know? And I didn't realize that actually probably until when I got on the kicks, I realized, wow, they deserve to see it exactly the way they wrote it, on its feet with my all, before I would ever say, what about saying this? Or can I add this? You know, because they put in so much effort in the writer's room.
Sure.
So and so now I see it as much more synergistic of like, I'm almost like, it's like we're all holding hands to do the scene. Do you know what I mean?
In Seinfeld, though, I mean, listen, the show is hilarious. I'm sure the actors you were working with and the scene that you're in is very funny, you know, with the two actors and with Michael. You can't break the scene because you're a guest star, but Michael could.
Oh, yeah. And he did.
Right.
And he did. And he also changed, like, for instance, we were all sitting at that table and he got up and made us all switch because it was his bad side.
Right.
And he wanted a certain side to camera. But guess what? He knows. He knew. He's on a show like that, the actor can stand up and say, I want to reset and do that. And he can, you know.
And he did.
He specifically picked the shirt. I remember that. I remember, you know, those crazy shirts when he's like, well, I'm wearing it. And they're wearing that funny shirt with they brought it to him and he got to pick which one and he did it. It wasn't like if it was week one on a new show, there'd be the director, the producers, everybody would be in there, you know.
Right. So you have done, you know, prior to Seinfeld, you know, you did the 90210, which we talked about on another podcast, but in case someone has not heard about that other podcast, I mean, you and your sister have a pretty big part where you guys go out with Steve and Brandon, Ian and Jason. And that becomes fairly an iconic thing in 90210. So you have a series of these like iconic show, iconic parts, iconic storylines, right? And is it tough to be like, well, not like, I don't know, the 90210 was so big, but then you do Seinfeld and is it constantly feeling like, I don't know where people know me from? You know what I mean?
That's true. People all the time go, how do I know you? And I'm like, because there has been, you know, because everybody our age, you know, back then, we all were watching the same things.
And, sure.
You know, so like, and I know like my fans are like 30 something moms from parent. And I'm like, they know me from Parent Trap. And then if it's guys like men, I go, they've probably been watching sports where my commercials play, you know, like I do used to do a lot of beer ads or like now I do AutoNation.
I don't think I knew that. Now that you said that, I just remember you in an ad like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And all of my ads, it's funny. I think it's just who I am, or maybe it's my appeal or something. They all end up being played on the, you know, in the mornings or during sports, like beer. Like I think I'm the aspirational, the girl that like you can get her, you know, the
girl wife, next door. Yeah.
My wife only yeah. cleaned up, you know? Yeah. So it's funny. I always do, like, I never do Mercedes Benz. I always do Honda. I've done, you know, I do the vacuum cleaner commercials or the, I'm not the glamour girl, which I'm happy about. Right. And I do like AutoNation. It's a bunch of car stuff, you know, so mm-hmm. I'm super fortunate to have that job. So
going back to the 90210, I want to ask you, because it's a different time period of your life, because it's a high school. Were you older or than the characters that you were on? Because that was a common thing with 90210, where the actors were actually like,
yes, and often they have to cast, they try to, they're mindful of the main cast. And so they were probably casting us to look, they wouldn't have put real, you know, 16-year-olds next to them because they were all 18.
That's awkward, right?
So they were, so that's how that left out. I was in college, I was at UCLA with Leanna. We were both at UCLA. I was Pi Phi, she was DG. And so we were, I guess, in 19, playing probably 16, 17.
Yeah. And yeah. You told me that you both were watching 90210 a bunch. So when you got that, it was like, you know, my God, we're on this show.
Number one show again. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, think about it. Back then there was no cable. I mean, I don't even know if there was cable. So everything was only on those three networks. And it was just the hottest show. Like, of course we watched. I remember thinking, oh my gosh. Like, and I had a crush on Jason Priestley, of course. And I got to kiss him, you know, like iconic, like how it was just, again, it was weird because we would see people and I think I don't know, when you're a girl and their girl fans are a little more, I don't know, people were just, it wasn't as bad. I don't know. I have no idea when people, I'm always shocked when people recognize me. I'm like, you recognize me? I just like everybody. I forget that my face is kind of out there a lot.
Yeah. I would recognize
you. Just kind of been, you know, kind of constant little dribble, you know, the whole time.
Well, on that note, though, I mean, in terms of being a guest star, that is sort of the you know, a thing, right? Like, I know you from somewhere, but what do I know you from? And then you realize, like, oh, I know you from several things.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not just the one thing. And so I guess my question is, how do you sort of, as an actor, I mean, it's hard because you're coming in for a week and you have a character. How do you develop and find the character in such? I mean, you've done shows where you were the lead and you were the star, not the guest star, the star of the show. So you have some time to develop mm-hmm. who this person's going to be. You can create some backstory, but you have a week to find Julie in these scenes. And so what is that process like for you?
It's basically, you know, how like, I used to say, like, to book a commercial, you have 3 seconds to book it. You know what I mean? And you have to do the whole thing. You don't have like a preamble and you don't get to ramp up. You have to be because they're going to use a second. So you have to be fully in your character mm-hmm. right away. There's no chance. There's no like building up. So I think that's how sitcom is. So I would say it's like you or a 1 hour is a little bit more, but a sitcom is really small. And so you start with the general, like, On Seinfeld, obviously, you know, I just started with an idea. I started with one of my characters, you know, like a go-to character and try to just find the general comedy in it. Like when you're first working on it before you even audition, you're like, where is the comedy here? And so then you just kind of start there and hopefully you can kind of keep turning it into something more and more specific as it goes on. But you don't have time to, you have to find the musicality. You have to find the reversals and the where the writer intended there to be a joke. So you don't have the luxury of like, well, I think my character would, you know, no, you, from the moment you read it, you have to read it in that. And hopefully you start with that, you know, because you do a read through and everybody's at a table and you're reading it with everybody. You have to hit all your beats, you know, that the writer intended. And then, you know, you just kind of, it's kind of tricky. You just kind of like throw it out there and do it. I'm trying to think of one that was harder. I remember like another, I mean, it's weird. It's almost like you've already done a polished job when you get a guest star, because you don't have a lot of, when you step on there, they kind of want what they cast you on. Do you know what I mean? They've seen you do all the big scenes already. They already have it on tape. They've already approved it. So they, it's not like you have a chance to come and say, I want to try it with a Southern accent, you know?
Right. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants it. They yeah. kind of want what you did. And really it's just about like going, okay, it's kind of like broad strokes. You're like, okay, I've got to hit these beats. They want a girl crying. They want a girl, like when I did Baywatch, that's another iconic one.
Exactly.
That one was one where, okay, I had to cry. There's no, they were going to, you know, so I remember when I came in to audition, the cast director, as I'm in the middle, I'm working up to my cry. It's in the middle of the scene. And she takes a call and is talking and she goes, and I was like, I'm crying. But I did, because you just have to, like, it wasn't like a choice. I'm like, I don't want to, like, you have to.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that times to be challenging to come in there and just have to, you don't have time to sort of like, you have to just turn on whatever's being asked of you in the moment.
Exactly. A lot of it's instinct, because you read it, you go, you've got instinct, but you also know the tone of the show. The better you know a show, the better you can slip into that. So, because each show has different tone, right? Like sometimes, mm-hmm. like this David E. Kelly show, you talk really fast and, you know, there's just different tones. And a lot of it's just luck. Like I might come in and just, I might be in a silly mood. And so I read mine kind of a silly offbeat way. And another girl, you know, might read it real serious. They're both right. It's just, and then which you usually, you don't really change too much from that performance.
I do find that they sometimes give guest stars meatier parts in terms of like a drama. They're not going to kill off the main actor. So yeah. they give the illness to the guest star or the murder, whatever the big thing is. You know, obviously the main characters are going to react to that. I don't know if you've had that experience in anything that you've done where you've gotten this meatier part because, you know, of...
Yeah, have it. That's an interesting. Yeah, I remember when I did Party of Five, I was playing Bailey's girlfriend, but it was clear they wanted to write. I was in service of the script because they were hiring Love Hewitt to come. And so I was supposed to be the perfect girl that he passes on and is really sad. And then he finds the girl he's supposed to be with. And so like, I was supposed to be crying. It was intended to be like, let's see Bailey, how awkward it is. Like you can see the writers going, well, how can we put our characters in hot water? Let's make him break up with a perfect girl. Let's make him, you know? And so they just try to run these poor characters through a gauntlet. And then we're kind of in service to that. So we're always in service to the main characters first and foremost. So if we're being interviewed, like, you know, by a detective, we're there. It's not just us. We're there to kind of highlight the main character, to be honest. Like in Seinfeld, we were there. They sacrificed a bunch of lines and a bunch of our story in service so that they would get bigger laughs overall for our main characters, who it's easier to laugh because you know and love them.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it makes total sense, but it is a challenge. I mean, I don't know if it's a challenge, but it's an interesting play as an actor, mm-hmm. you know, and you talked before about Jason Alexander saying hello to everybody. And I don't know what it was like on 90210. I mean, we've talked about that, but like, you know, I'm sure the guys were really great. And sometimes the girls I've heard could be a little bit challenging, maybe. But
that's across the board. And I'm a woman. That's right. Across the board. Men are usually nicer and or more they seemingly more generous. I don't know why. It could be that maybe it's that show. There was a lot of animosity going on right at that moment. A lot of drama. So it's probably a good thing that I didn't have to tangle too much with the girls.
But like, I'm curious, though, when you come into something like that, right? I mean, we've talked about Growing Pains. You guys knew everybody. Your families were connected to the Camerons and all this. And then you come into a 90210 where they go for overnight from being like, maybe the show will be canceled, to a hugely iconic show. And there's personal conflict and all the rumors. And I'm sure you're aware of some of that when you walk to set. So does it make it more challenging or intimidating?
Yes, 100%. You can cut it with a knife. You note it the moment, because when you show up on your tape day and you step into the trailer, you know that's the when you get your makeup done, and everybody uses kind of, it's one general area, and you know there's different. So you're sitting next to all the characters, and whatever energy is there, and they're hating each other or arguing or stressed or nervous or whatever. And so that's another thing. You learn to kind of stay in your lane. But yeah, I remember being very nervous about that. And you can just feel it. You don't even know what's going on. You get into the transpo van, they're taking you to set, and you're like, God, I hope they don't start, you know, whatever it is. You don't even know what's going on, but you know you can sit in the car and know that, oh, these something's big, and I'm just going to stay here and not get nervous. You know, just,
I hope it has nothing to do with me.
I hope it has nothing to do with me. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's insecure. Like, I remember when I did Seinfeld, I was like, I remember that I was just sure. I'm like, maybe, what if I get written off? What if they can't? And I'm just, it's just anxiety. It's just nervousness. You're like, what if I say my lines so bad at the table read that I get fired? And pretty much every job, I think that I'm going to get fired crosses my mind at some point before.
Has it happened?
No.
Oh, no. So what do you put that in
but
your
it
head?
It has happened to people I know.
Right. Sure. For sure. Yeah.
And so, you know, you learn things. Like, I remember somebody wasn't on the kicks. Like, we did our first table read. One of the kids was just kind of dialing it in. I don't think she realized. I go, oh no. So I was like, you know, you give 110% as if you were on its feet filming during the table read. That's the way it goes. You would hate for someone to get fired for that, but you know.
And I'm sure you've seen it. Yeah.
I've seen it. I have seen it. And sometimes, and I go, oh gosh, I bet they could have given more. Not on my show, The Kicks or anything, but I've heard friends on other shows have been fired for the way they looked or the way they came across or the way they, you know.
It happens. It's a tough.
It's happening now with politics. People are getting fired based on their politics. And it's just a scary situation. So you just go, stay in your lane. Nobody wants to hear from me about my politics. Nobody, you know, I'll just do it.
Yeah, no, I get that. But I was going to ask you, when you have a starring role after doing all the guest starring stuff, and you said Jason was kind to you, or Luke Perry maybe was kind to you, do you come with the approach of like, well, I have been a guest star, I know what the guest star is feeling here, let me go say hello? Or is it like, do you get into your head about what you're doing as a lead that you're like, oh, I totally forgot to say hi to the guest star? Or how do you
hopefully it's not that. Right. I mean, the truth is, because I've had ups and downs, I've been the lead and then not, and the lead again and then not, you know, I understand that some days my job is to show up and help the lead, you know, for 1 week or 2 weeks and help them shine. And other times it'll be my job. I mean, when I was doing The Kicks, I had friends that were booked, you know, as guest stars, and they could be on their own show tomorrow and be big stars. You know what I mean? But on the show today, they've got two lines, you know, and I'm the star, you know? So I guess I have that long view now because of experience, like, oh, I'm no better, no worse. I'm lucky. And I'm hopefully going to be in it. I want to have a few more of those, you know, leads, guests, leads. It's always fun to meet people and meet a whole new group of people. Every time I don't think I've ever not been on a set and not made an interesting connection, a good, you know, I find that 90% of the people are so awesome and so creative and clever and interesting and just worthy of a show, you know? So I remember this little girl, Julia Butters, was on The Kicks as played this couple little lines. She was hilarious. But then she was in the Oscar winning movie, I think, last year. You know, I'm like, how? I mean, it's one day it's kind of the way it is. It's why you know, hopefully you don't burn too many bridges, you know?
Right.
People have a choice of who they work with. They're going to work with somebody that they enjoy and is a team player. It is the most team of anything, you know? And there's always going to be people who, you know, pull their rank because they can.
Sure. I mean, and is that difficult when you watch something like that and see that play out?
Yeah. Cause I mean, especially when it's young people, cause I go, oh gosh. You don't know.
Do you see a difference with young, and I don't mean to be like this too, you know, this generation, but I'm sure they probably said it when we were younger kids, but I mean, do you see what is the difference that you see, I guess, from when you were on Growing Pains to young actors now coming to set? Is it a social media thing where?
Yes. Well, now I feel like they're so aware. They're so self-aware. We were not self-aware. We were like actors in a box all by ourselves. We'd come in. So we were kind of wide-eyed. We didn't know. And I think a lot of kids were until they got to set. And then their whole world was that set, you know, or this, or their Hollywood world, where now these kids are so aware of, you know, just the whole world is watching. They have, you know, PR teams and people and their families and and they're creating their own content. Everybody's doing five other projects. That's another big thing. We were just like on the show, like that was our one job. Versus now there's a lot of different revenue streams. They're trying to post, they're keeping their image up. We didn't have an image. We did, but we didn't.
Yeah, or their brand, right? Like they're thinking about their brand. I mean, they're
their brand. So for instance, my nephew, my sister Joy, who I don't think you met, her son is 19 and he's on his first show as an actor. And he's shooting in Connecticut. And I'm watching going, wow, so similar to us. He's, you know, in college basically and doing his first show. I'm like, that's exactly what his mom did, but he has a different mentality. He loves acting and doing all that, but he can do so much more on his own networking because you have this phone and you have ability to film and he's got awareness of PR and all the kids are much more involved firsthand in their own show. So it's more stress.
It seems more stressed. And it like you talking to what you were talking about before, it seems like people get removed for a political thought or maybe even for young kids, something that they post that is deemed inappropriate or whatever. So Brian has said to me, I don't know in person or on one of these shows, but he doesn't know how you all would do if social media existed back in the day. You know what I mean?
I can't even fathom it. I can't even fathom because I think I would never even made it to acting. I think I would have been sidetracked on that. It can be so time consuming, social media, and so critical. I don't think I would have ever, I think I would have been crippled with like, oh, I'm not good enough or I'm not, I think I would have stopped. Instead, you know, it's, I think everybody, like if they want to go into film, acting, TV, whatever, any art, you kind of want to be off the stage and be just making stuff. And working it out and playing and having fun. You need that momentum to get going. Otherwise you might never make it. Now these kids that get hired, it's based on their following. It's based on the fact they have a following, not on their acting skills.
Yeah.
Well, so it's just a different value system. And I think the kids today think it's more about looks. And we thought, of course, it's about our acting. And
ability, right.
Mm-hmm. Ability. And I think there's probably a happy medium in there. It was for sure our looks as well as but we were trying to get our acting chops down, you know, versus just getting a video to go viral.
Yeah, there was something about trying to get recognized for the talent and going further in the career so that you could get yourself in a film or something else and down the line. Was it difficult in some of the shows? I guess you didn't really have the problem because you kept guest starring and doing other things, but we always hear about the typecasting and all that stuff. Did you ever find that to be challenging for you?
I got worried because we always did the twin triplet stuff. And I was like, I wanted to be known as my own. So then that's why I started auditioning on single stuff. Cause it used to be all twin and triplet stuff. And it was fun. I mean, it was, you know, we got to the point where we can almost feel what they want from us. Do you know what I mean? When it's the three of us, there's like a da da da.
Sure.
And it's this fantasy. They want the fantasy like triplets who love Jewish men that, you know, or
right. Yeah.
And so we could kind of, you know, again, it's just kind of instinctual by at some point, but our goal was to kind of, we saw the whole career. Like for me, I was like, you want to do guest stars better and better so that somebody will see you, so that they bring you in and then you get on a network list and then you can be on a, you know, a show that goes, the goal was to get on a show that went into syndication. So you need a show for 4 years or more, 3.5 years, or whatever. Now I don't even know what the goal is, you know? And I mean, I guess the goal for me is I just want to work regularly, you know, because it used to be you wanted the syndicated show. That was just the gold standard. It's funny. It's supposed to be the golden age of TV, but there's almost so much TV I can't even keep up.
And there's so many streaming platforms and so many places to watch TV and so many different shows and whatnot.
And shows have smaller audiences because it's just so fractured. And it used to be like the amount of eyeballs that were on like Parent Trap, that is unheard of. That amount of viewership, it doesn't happen today. That was so big because everybody was watching. Now it's so fractured. They're getting smaller and smaller. I know I can't keep up with all the TV I want to watch. And I love TV. TV's always been my favorite medium. Like I've done movies, but I just love TV. I will always love TV. I will always laugh at the dumb family comedies. I loved Good Luck Charlie. I thought I would laugh. I love that. I loved Hannah Montana. I like TV and I like 1 hours and I like, you know, I like the stories they are able to tell, lots of different stories. And there's some great acting in it. Great.
I want to ask you lastly, you know, this industry or the entertainment industry or acting is tough. It is, you know, you have to have a lot of patience and tolerance and deal with rejection. I don't know, what has that process been like for you? How do you process some of that? And what, I guess, just advice that you'd give to other young actors or whomever, whatever field people are trying to get into that has such a, you know, high pain threshold, I guess.
It is have a high pain. That's pretty funny. It's very true. You know, I think the truth is you have to be in it for the long haul. It's not like if, you know, obviously if you're to want to do it to be famous, it's not a very effective way to do it. I think you have to really love it and surround yourself with good people. Know that it's not a hurry. You're not racing to the end. I mean, look, I never would have thought when I did 90210 that I would still be acting 30 years later. Like, who would have guessed? You know, that just, but it's been, definitely I've had my ups and downs and it's tough, but it's all relationships based. So I make a new relationship with a new manager and then they take me to a certain level. And then I might make a relationship with a new agent and that might take me. I think the best thing is to continually work on your craft, not take any relationship or job for granted. I mean, really, and you never know when your next job, where your next job is coming from. Sometimes it's somebody that I did a commercial with, you know, that now the people, like other actors I know, are now directing and writing. One of my Taylor Sheridan, who is the creator of Yellowstone, he was my acting coach because just another actor, out of work actor. And so I would go to him and he would help me with all and I was always booking. He could not book a job to save his life, but he was writing a script. So I think I had a good community around me of good people, you know, like Taylor just gets it. And I think, it's never easy to be rejected. It's, I guess for me, it was hard when I got rejected because I thought, well, like when like Leanna and I both were up for Karate Kid 2 or 3 and it got down to 3 people and then Leanna booked it. I didn't. And I was like, oh, so it was hard not to take it personally. Cause it's not like they went with a different look. Cause we had this.
Right.
I was like, nope, they went with who they liked better as an actor. I'm like, oh gosh. So it's hard for sure. Those were the most painful ones.
That must've been a very tough experience for you.
That was terrible. And then Leanna had to lose it because Parent Trap, the Hawaiian episode, they pushed our dates. And so we had to go to Hawaii to shoot. So Leanna couldn't do it. So Robin Lively did it. And I'm still friends with Robin Lively to this day, you know, but I think the rejection piece, it's hard because yes, they are rejecting you. The best part is that you have to just go, I'm doing it for me. And so what I do now, I audition, I put myself on tape. I do the best I can. It's hard not to, after 3 or 4 hours of work, just to forget it. You just take it and you put it aside and I go, am I happy with, did I put my stamp on that? Yes, I did. I did it the way I wanted to do it. And it's the long run. I'm looking in the long run. Each audition is making me better. I'm getting, right. It's getting me to the, and I'm, you know, and there's always something to learn. It's like a circle. You're not, you know, you're always coming back to the beginning, like meditation and start again, you know, go back to the breath. I mean, I've had my own, I've been on, you know, interviewed by Johnny Carson and I've been on the Hollywood, you know, Christmas parade on my own float. And I've been, you know, guest starring and you know what I mean? Like there's just a rhythm to it. And I think it's good to just know that you're in it for the long haul. And if you can make your own moves, like do what you can. If you're a writer, write. If you have a funny character, put it on tape. If you know people, network, stay in class, stay with, and I'm telling myself this too. I'm in a class that's with artists and on every Sunday on Zoom during the pandemic. And it was the best thing I could have done because it kept me sharp, engaged, creating, excited. I actually fell back in love with acting.
That's amazing.
This year. I don't even know if I ever really was in love with it the way I am with it now. And I'm so glad. That's from showing up when I didn't want to. And we write for each other and we just tackle things that Because if you're not getting the scripts that are stretching you,
you know, you need to find them. Yeah.
You have to find them and make it. Otherwise, you're gonna like, you know, a lot of the characters are often the same. You know, wife in distress, husband dies. You know, a lot of the, especially guest stars, they're very generally in the same. So you try to bring a little more juice to them if you can. You know.
Yeah. Absolutely. This has been great, Monica. I feel like I can talk to you for another 4 weeks, but you've got someone there and all that. But thank you for your time here and good catching up.
Thank you. Well, have me back, please.
Yes, will do. All right.
I'll go book another guest star and then I'll come back.
Please do. All right. That was Monica Lacey. Amazing stuff coming out of there. Next week, we're in for a real treat. Much love to my friend Kathleen Robertson, who hooked me up with a very cool interview. We'll be talking to Jamie Lynn Sigler, Meadow Soprano from The Sopranos, and she did Entourage. So much stuff. It's going to be super awesome to spend some time talking about her guest star stuff and, of course, her role as Meadow. That's next week, December 15th, right here on Guest Star. So until then, I will see you next week.